Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Thursday, December 22nd, 2022. I'm Naima Latif. And in the news, President Biden welcomes the President of the Ukraine, President Volodymyr Zelensky, to the White House. Yesterday, the President promised to support the Ukrainian people in their quest to end the war with Russia. President Biden and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky underscored their continued partnership against Russia in the war in Ukraine during a meeting at the White House on Wednesday. In a joint press conference, President Biden said President Zelensky's trip came amid escalated attacks from Russia targeting infrastructure. President Biden said, "It's important for the American people and for the world to hear directly from you, Mr. President, about the fight and the need to continue to stand together through 2023. He added, "We understand in our bones that Ukraine's fight is part of something much bigger." He condemned the atrocities committed by Russia in its attacks on the country. And ahead of President Zelensky's arrival, the Defense Department announced $1.85 billion in new security aid, including a Patriot surface-to-air missile battery. The United States will train Ukraine's military how to use the Patriot in a third country, an administration official said, noting it will take time before it is operational in Ukraine. President Zelensky said his trip was aimed at thanking Americans for their support, calling it a historic moment in the relationship between the two countries. President Zelensky said every dollar of this investment for the United States is going to be strengthening of global security. He added, "We need to survive this winter. We need to protect our people." So we'll share with you that meeting before the press, and of course the purpose was simply for the press to report, not for members of the press to necessarily ask questions of the two men. And here's the meeting at the White House with President Joe Biden and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
Thank you.
that was the meeting for the press, giving those who attended an opportunity to see a genuine exchange of gratitude between two leaders, President Joe Biden of America and President Volodymyr Zelensky of the Ukraine. Many people have wondered what is the background for the conflict. Most international conflicts, even those that involve much American participation and military involvement, are often a mystery to the rank and file people, the citizenry, who are merely the recipients of the consequences of violence between national leadership. What is the reason for this act of aggression coming from Russia? In an article heard on the morning edition of NPR, reporter Greg Meyer lent this explanation of the Ukraine invasion. He says, a century and counting, Ukraine's ongoing fight to free itself from Russia. The past century in Ukraine has been packed with monumental events, wars, famines, political upheavals. Yet there's a recurring theme that can be boiled down to a single sentence. Ukraine tries to break free from Russia, and Russia refused to let it go. The Russian Empire started to expand with Ukraine. In the mind of many Russians, their empire cannot exist without Ukraine. That's why they keep coming back, said Volodymyr Vyacheslav, a member of Ukraine's parliament and a prominent historian. He lives near the Kyiv suburb of Bucha, which the Russians pulverized in the first days of the war. When the Russians invaded Ukraine before dawn on February 24th, Vyacheslav says he immediately sent his wife and six-year-old son to West Ukraine for their safety. He then drove to Kyiv for an emergency session of parliament, which declared martial law. By 2 p.m. that day, he received a rifle so he could join the security forces defending the capital. It was a day of high drama in a war that's still playing out, but as an historian, Vyacheslav also sees the actions of President Vladimir Putin as a part of a pattern of behavior by Russian leaders. Putin's many statements in recent years made clear he wanted to renew the Russian Empire. This was a warning to me that this war was going to happen, he said. A declaration of independence. Ukraine first declared independence from Russia in 1918, doing so in an elegant whitewashed building in the center of Kyiv that still stands and now serves as the offices for the Kyiv House of Teachers. At that time, Ukrainians were seeking to take advantage of the chaos in Russia following the collapse of the Russian monarchy a year earlier. But Vladimir Lenin and the communists, the successors to the Russian monarchy, sent troops to Ukraine and defeated that short-lived independence. With no real alternative, Ukraine formally became part of the Soviet Union on December 30, 1922, a century ago this month. A reminder of that history came just 2 months ago on October 10th. That's when a Russian missile slammed into the street outside the Kyiv House of Teachers. The blast blew out the windows, as well as parts of the glass ceiling in the hall where independence was declared in 1918. The windows are boarded up. Shards of glass still cover the floor. There are, of course, parallels to a century ago, said Oleh Steshuk, the director of the House of Teachers. This building was also damaged in the fight back then, and now it's damaged again. But don't worry, we will rebuild everything. Andrew Weiss, with the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in Washington, noted that during the Soviet era, Kremlin leaders repeatedly crushed Ukrainian protests and rebellions, which helps explain why Ukrainians are fighting so fiercely today. If you look at all the hardships that Ukraine experienced in the 20th century, and they're vast, this is the moment where all the wrongs of the last 100 years plus need to be redressed, he said. A clear desire to break from Moscow. Ukrainians thought this matter was finally resolved in December 1991 when they held a referendum on independence. 92% voted in favor of going their own way. The Soviet Union collapsed later that month. But when Vladimir Putin came to power in Russia in 1999, he had other plans. The Russian leader says he doesn't accept Ukraine's independence and that it's part of Russia. He claims that only Russia can protect Ukraine from foreign invaders. I have said it before, but I want to say it again. Russia can be the only real guarantor of Ukraine's territorial integrity, Putin said earlier this month. Putin has worked to install friendly pro-Russian leaders in Ukraine. Ukrainians pushed back with massive street protests in 2004. And then again a decade later, leading Ukraine's president to flee to Russia in 2014. Just days after that episode, Putin invaded Ukraine. Then came his full-scale invasion this February. He never expected such a tough fight. Weiss said Ukraine is now, quote, mobilizing all of its citizens to make good on the things that people 100 years ago could only aspire to. That's a country that will have an identity that's largely founded in opposition to Russia and in a national narrative of survival and overcoming. What the war means for Ukraine and Russia. For Ukraine, the stakes in this war are huge. The same is also true of Russia. Russian Garry Kasparov, a former world chess champion and a staunch critic of Putin, said the Russian leader knows he can't lose this war. Because if he's losing a war, especially a war of his own making, he doesn't survive, he said. The outcome may signal the end, not just of Putin's era, but the era of the empire. It's 21st century. It's time for empires to go. Kasparov was still living in Russia 15 years ago when he entered politics and challenged Putin's hold on power. When it became clear his safety was at risk, he left Russia and now lives in New York. This year, his organization, the Renewed Democracy Initiative, is raising money for Ukraine. We see it not just as a moral duty to help Ukraine to survive and win the war, he said, but also as an opportunity to revitalize the discussion about democracy and the values of freedom. Ukrainians keep demonstrating to us that these values are worth fighting and dying for. Many military analysts warn the war is unlikely to produce a clear resolution on the battlefield. They say it's likely to require negotiations and compromises. That's not a popular opinion in Ukraine. President Volodymyr Zelensky and many citizens say they want all Russian troops driven out of the country. Zelensky recently told Time magazine, "We are dealing with a powerful state that is pathologically unwilling to let Ukraine go." Valery Chali, Ukraine's former ambassador to the United States, said the region would be more stable if Ukraine wins the war and joins NATO. This is what Ukraine's government wants, although joining the alliance is highly unlikely in the near term. Being a buffer zone or gray zone is not good from a geopolitical point of view, he said. If you are a gray zone between two security blocks, two military blocks, everybody wants to make a step. This has happened with Ukraine. Construction workers are already rebuilding in Bucha, re-roofing homes in the snow and mud of a freezing December day. Vyacheslav says, Ukrainians believe this time the confrontation with Moscow will end differently. I believe our generation has an opportunity to put an end to this. Ukrainians are more united, more mobilized, more ready to fight than in 1918. Pardon me. Greg Meyer is an NPR national security correspondent. Follow him at Greg Meyer 1. That's GREGMYRE, the number 1. So now you know a little bit more about what the issues are that are affecting this war and the holdover from wars past and times past and eras past when presidents and kings had visions of empires and ruling vast stretches of land and controlling people and receiving their tax dollars, what they must pay to the government in exchange for protection and services. Well, it said in the article, quoted a quote from a Ukrainian citizen, that the time for empires is over. The question this generation must make is, are we ready to change the direction of the leadership and the intentions behind what our nations do in terms of their alliances? Are the alliances based on the larger nations being able to bully the smaller nations and take their resources and their labor? Or can we build a world based on mutual respect and cooperation between all nations, large and small? That is the question that continues to surface as those who are involved in war are seeing the impact on their families, on communities, on education, on culture. And so how will this finally end? And is it possible to create a culture in which there is an intention for all nations to actually live in a state of peace, non-aggression, and mutual respect? This is a goal of the international organization, Heavenly Culture, World Peace, Restoration of Light, founded by Chairman Man Hee Lee, a Korean War veteran who pledged to work to create a world in which there would be no war. He issues a statement to world leaders and citizens in the hopes that hostile relations such as that between Russia and the Ukraine can be peacefully resolved. He states, "Greetings, I am Man Hee Lee, Chairman of Heavenly Culture, World Peace, Restoration of Light, HWPL. I would like to take this opportunity to extend my deepest gratitude to all people who work for world peace and cessation of war in collaboration with HWPL. HWPL has seen remarkable progress in carrying out the three core peace projects: Legislate Peace Campaign, World Alliance of Religions Peace, WARP, W-A-R-P, offices, and HWPL Peace Education. Undoubtedly, the endorsement at the national level and the participation and support of civil societies helped to produce these results. However, they would not have been possible without the cooperation and dedication of peace messengers who are working for peace understanding, the importance of it. We are the messengers of peace, born in this era with a mission to build a peaceful world and to leave it as a legacy to future generations. Let us fulfill this duty by putting in concerted efforts into the Declaration of Peace and Cessation of War, DPCW, to be implemented as international law to achieve true peace across the globe. Then we will be able to leave a world of peace as a lasting legacy to our children. This is a shared goal of humanity and the way to realize sustainable peace that mankind has been hoping for. As spring full of warmth comes after a harsh winter, we are welcoming an era of peace after a time of conflicts and division. The refreshing and sweet scent of peace spread by HWPL and peace messengers is filling the air, foretelling the coming of an everlasting spring. Let us take a leap forward for peace as one. We are one. Manhe Lee, Heavenly Culture, World Peace, Restoration of Light, HWPL. And for more information on HWPL, you can go to HWPL. And keep abreast of the activities. Participate in the Legislate Peace Campaign, in which letters are sent to legislators by the citizens, signed letters asking that they sign on to the aims and goals of HWPL, and support the DCPW, the Declaration of Peace, Cessation of War, an international law document that has been circulated to leaders around the globe and presented to the United Nations as a document that, if nations would adhere to it, would prevent acts of war such as that we're witnessing with Russia and Ukraine, and it would provide for nations that wish independence to achieve it without interference. In other words, no more empire building and attaching countries without their desire or consent. This is a document that has been presented to the leadership in America and Russia, and as yet, neither nation has made the DCPW part of its law that it adheres to. And so the Legislate Peace Campaign is certainly a part of getting those world leaders to agree to a standard that other nations around the world have agreed to. And of course, the World Alliance of Religions for Peace, that is an ongoing dialogue between religious leaderships in the hopes that those communities of faith will recognize that all faiths support peace and societies based on love and compassion. And the HWPL Peace Education is an educational program geared to steer the minds of the next generation, those who will grow up and become leaders and citizens in the direction of a culture of peace so that the way of life is one, mutual respect for all, and living in harmony with nature so that the lives of humanity may also be sensitive to the lives of all who are sharing our earth. That is the vision of HWPL. Go to hwpl.kr. That's all for now. We thank you for listening to On Air Daily News. Join us Monday through Friday live on Blog Talk Radio and listen to the shows in the archives at www.onaireverywhere.com. Until enjoy the rest of this.